I think humans operate out of abundance or scarcity. A lot of people operate out of insecurity and scarcity. And when you're operating out of insecurity and scarcity, it's always about holding and hoarding on to what is yours because you don't believe there's an infinite amount of things out there for you. Hello, everyone. It's Jordan Boxer, your host of Leaders in Sport, a podcast brought to you by Designs for Sport, which is an industry-leading supplement company with all NSF for Sport supplements and education geared to help elevate the industry and support fit pros.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Leaders in Sport. I'm your host, not Jordan Boxer. Today, the podcast is being hosted by myself, Jill Lane, because I'm turning the tables on our fearless leader at Designs for Sport. And I made him change seats with me because he wanted to sit in the power seat, the interviewer seat. And I said, excuse me, you are the interviewee. And so we had to switch spots. So across the room from me in this amazing studio we use when we're in Dallas is the one and only Jordan Boxer.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Such
oh my gosh,
big intro.
It's so great to meet you.
Is it? Yeah, it's great. This is amazing.
Oh my goodness. We just had an amazing event in Dallas, and I just have to say that I'm so thankful for what you've created at Designs for Sport. We're going to let this podcast just unravel as the energy takes us, but I just want to say thank you. Thank you for creating a space for people to grow and lead and serve. And when I was sitting in the car, I was trying to remember the quote, and you'll probably know it because you're really good at stuff like this, where it says, like, if you want to go
far.
Yeah. What is it?
You want to go far, go together. If you want to go fast, go alone.
You want it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
So we just had an amazing group of people at a lunch and learn today, and it's just such a blessing what you've created at Designs for Sport. But before we get into Designs for Sport, I just want to say—
Well, can I say thank you for being part—
No, okay. You don't get a talk.
Okay.
You don't get a talk on this podcast, even though it's about you.
It's
yes.
Fine.
I'll take a breath and let my nervous system calm down because I'm so psyched about what we just did with a bunch of people and let you take the mic.
No, you want me to take it?
No, I want you to just say what you were going to say.
It's humbling and hard for me to receive what you said, but not in a bad way, just my own dysfunction. But thank you for saying that. It's been a fun journey. I still remember our first conversation back in April 2020. Yeah, because it was right when we did our, right after we did our like impromptu summit. And then I had a dream and I was like, I need to find somebody in Texas to be like the first rep. And then you got put in contact with me through Evelyn, who's a rep over at DFH, and she's now hosting the DFH podcast. And it was just like perfect synergy for what we wanted to do. And you came on and it was like month three of us getting the go-ahead. And we didn't have any product to sell. We were starting things out. So I'm grateful that you put the trust in us, especially that early on. Because a lot of people like to come on to something as it's already matured into something, but you came on before like anyone knew who we were, like we were starting from scratch. It was a big ask to have you come on to something so early. So thank you. And I can't believe it's been almost 4 years, 3.5 years.
Crazy.
I know.
Yeah, we'll get more into Designs for Sport, but I'm going to pose to you the questions I just asked to the group because I think it will set the tone for people who might not know you to get to know you, and for people who already know you but maybe only see you through the Designs for Sport lens to kind of really understand who you are. So, Jordan Boxer, what do you want to be known for?
The first thing that popped in my mind, which I guess would probably be the thing, is connecting people. I have a mission statement in life, and my mission statement, it says like I want to help people be able to communicate their own truth, which I think a lot of people suffer doing. They get worried about like what are other people going to think, or they're insecure about what their truth is. So to me, I think the greatest gift is to give people that. So maybe being known for connecting people to their truth, but also I love building tribes and communities. And to me, relationships is like the most important thing into life. So what really drove Designs for Sport is I had a big love and affinity for strength coaches and people who are in this space because, you know, especially personal trainers, dietitians, strength coaches, I don't want to say they're not respected in the world. It's just, I don't think people realize how difficult their job is and how much effort is needed. Like, a personal trainer is not just there counting reps anymore. A strength coach who's part of a team isn't there just looking at a bar. Like, they're so invested. Dietitians have to constantly, and everybody, they're upgrading their knowledge all the time to stay at the forefront. And a lot of time it's a thankless career, which they have to have a big motivation and drive. And I think community in your space is so important because most of these people are in their own little island. And yeah, so it, I guess, yeah, quick answer, connecting people to what they really want and then also having people connect with each other.
You're very good at connecting people. Why, how do you think you got good at that? Or why do you think that's your superpower?
I honestly think I'm vertically challenged a bit. Like, I'm 5'6". I didn't have the biggest presence in school. And I think it's funny, I have a lot of friends now, but when I think of my childhood, I didn't have many friends. Mm. So I had to learn, like, I think finally in high school, I started to have a group of friends, and it was like, I learned how to fit in and blend in with a lot of different people. Not like a chameleon where it was like manipulative, but like, I truly find people fascinating and I get really excited. There's like a weird joy in me when I'm like, oh, I could connect this person, and they would get along really well. Like that, it brings me joy, and it's on such a subconscious level. I have no idea where it comes from, but it's not tiring to me, and I'm always looking how to piece people together.
Yeah, yeah. How do you think that serves people in business? I mean, or let me rephrase the question. Like in business, you mentioned that strength coaches and trainers are often kind of like to themselves or siloed off. So I'm a bit answering my own question, but I know you will elaborate because it's a passion of yours and you are very good at it. Why do you think it's important for business owners to stay connected?
So I think a lot of people don't want to connect with their colleagues because they're scared that there's a limited amount of potential clients. And if I connect with these people, maybe they'll steal my clients. But I had actually Sachin Patel put this in my mind back probably 8 years ago. He was standing at a functional medicine conference. He's like, guys, there's not enough of us for all the sick people that are coming. And I saw that like paradigm shift in people who were listening. And I also saw like the excitement that these conferences we were putting on were causing in the functional medicine community back in the day. So I would look at strength coaches who are even more isolated in my mind than naturopaths. And there is like, I think you need like a group of people for you to learn on, bounce ideas off of, who understand the struggle you're going through. Cause you know, we all have our wives and husbands at home, but they don't really get it cause they're not in it. And we have friends, but they don't really get it cause they're not in it. And it's sometimes nice just to be validated in what you're going through. And then also together we can keep elevating everyone. Like mm-hmm. It's such, for people who aren't in our space, like to be, you're basically signing up to a career where yes, you can have some financial success, but if that's your main driver, like you're not. So why are people in our industry? They like to help people get better, but then they often forget about themselves. And that's why I think having that community can help them continue their own growth.
Yeah. So
I don't know, that's a roundabout way of answering.
No. So the whole working on your business while you're working in your business, but also working on yourself and not feeling like other colleagues are your competitors.
Yeah, you can go so far as a team. Mm-hmm. And I do think there's something in competitive nature where you want to have an enemy out there for you to all work towards. But, you know, even like at DFS, like our team's so small and tight knit, but we've created almost like a little family where it's like we can all trust each other. And it allows us, I think, to get through a lot of difficult times that can come up. Mm-hmm. So even if you're starting in a business, having like a true team with you, it's not 1 + 1 = 2. It's like 1 + 1 = 3 or 1 + 1 + 1 = 5. Like, I think it multiplies when you have that team.
Yep.
And no one that I know that's really successful ever takes all the credit. Like, they're aware that it was a team effort. And why can't that apply to people who have their own businesses? Like, why do they always have to feel like they're doing it on their own? Is why I think it's so important to have the community.
Do you think it's like that because we're just not taught that in school, or do you think it's more about the competitiveness of this particular industry?
I think humans operate out of abundance or scarcity. A lot of people operate out of insecurity and scarcity. And when you're operating out of insecurity and scarcity, it's always about holding and hoarding on to what is yours because you don't believe there's an infinite amount of things out there for you. I think if you're somebody who's abundantly minded, and you know that you're always going to be taken care of, you're more likely to want that. But I don't know what happened in society recently or if it's always been like this, but I feel so many people feel like they can't trust anyone, they're by themselves, and they feel like there's such a small amount of opportunity out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so having a more abundant, or as my business coach likes to call it, possibility of a mindset of possibility, like knowing that there's infinite possibilities out there instead of feeling afraid or living from that place of scarcity.
Yeah, I think we all do it because it's like the unknown is scary, mm-hmm. but the unknown is so big that why does that have to be scary and not exciting?
Yeah.
And, you know, even something as simple as like when I was a rep for DFH, I would go into clinics and I would talk about our products. And let's say a competitor might have one-upped us on a product. I wouldn't bash that product. I'd actually tell the doctor the truth in my own opinion. And what would happen is I would gain more business out of it because it's like all of a sudden I'm a trustworthy person. So I was okay taking short-term losses for the greater gain. And I personally could sleep better at night, but that's because I always had the mindset of like, no, there's a ton of business out there. I don't have to pretend and like manipulate into something to win. It's like just being honest, like
right.
It goes a long way. Like even today we were talking about our creatine. And somebody's like, what's unique about your creatine? And I'm like, actually, absolutely nothing. It's just mm-hmm. a creatine monohydrate. It's a clean source. It's NSF. But, you know, compared to everybody else's, it's the same. And people are buying that product from us because we built so much trust in everything else. And it carried in. You know, I didn't have to lie and try to manipulate to why ours was better. Like, yep. Didn't have to discount somebody else because there's so many people who need creatine, like we'll get some of it. We don't need to win all of it and it's all going to be okay. But that's how I view most things. And I'm lucky I had mentors teach me that.
No, but I mean, it speaks to the power of community. Like we started off with, you know, we had a community of people there who already know that, you know, we try to do our best by our word. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when you just continue to live in that integrity, which is one of our core values at Designs for Sport, then people can trust that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You mentioned Designs for Health and your time in Designs for Health. Like, what got you to Designs for Health? Like, what's your backstory with, like, health and getting in and working in the health space?
So I went to school for environmental science. I thought I was going to be either an environmental lawyer, and I didn't know which side, to be honest. I don't know if it was fighting for the good stuff or fighting against the good stuff. Or I wanted to sell green energy securities. I don't know why. I just felt like this is what I wanted to do. And then unbeknownst to me at the time, like I was learning about like soil quality and nutrient density in soil and all that stuff. And then I got really sick when I was my mom's 50th birthday. So I was 24. And I was still in school. I was going to school part-time. I had an internship at a financial company. I was training 4 days a week in martial arts, and I worked in nightclubs. So I had this like unlimited energy to be able to do all of it. And then I got really sick on a cruise for my mom's 50th birthday. I remember coming home because we used to drive to Florida from Toronto, and it was like 24-hour drive, and I lost like 10 pounds on that drive. I got super sick.
Wow.
Lymph nodes swelled up. I was sweating, throwing up, completely fatigued. I went to a doctor 50 times in a year. And I know that because I was writing something called the Canadian Securities course or exam, which you need to trade stocks. And I passed the first one with like 88 or 89%. And the second part, I couldn't get over the 60% mark.
Wow.
Which I've never been like the most amazing student, but I've always been able to get through
how
things.
How far was that after you started getting sick?
I got sick it was February, and I tried twice in that year to write the exam and I couldn't pass it. Mm. I was so sick and tired. I had to quit. I had to quit a bunch of things. I went back to serving instead of working in nightclubs, and I could only do like a 2-3 hour shift. I had no energy to work out, and I kept going to the doctor. That's how I know it was 50 times, because they wrote it for me to get an extension on my security exam course. And they didn't have an answer for me. And then luckily, one of my dad's clients is a medical doctor, naturopath. And he was like, you have leaky gut and you got to stop eating gluten and dairy. And I took it as like, oh, I just have to have, I'm lactose intolerant is how I took it. Mm-hmm. And he sent me off to this acupuncturist who I saw like 3 times a week, got on herbal medicine. And my health got back about 60%, which was huge. And then I graduated school and I took a sales job to sell wireless internet because I was working in finance at the time during the 2008 crash. So when that happened, I was like, maybe this isn't a good future, because I was only an intern making $400 a week or whatever. But like, I saw all these people who were high six-figure jobs lose their job. Like, it was crazy. Mm-hmm. And then I started selling internet. It was extremely hard item to sell. And there was this, I didn't love it. So I was always looking for something else. I didn't know what I wanted to do at the time. I had the health issues. And then I saw this job posting for a company called Genestra, which is owned by Soroyal. And it was for an inside sales rep job. And I like emailed them. I went in and I interviewed and they're like, you don't have a nutrition background. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. I'll learn. And they're like, sorry. So for a year, I emailed them every single month, the wow. CEO of the company, Eves. Then they hired me. And then I...
Why were you so passionate about getting that job?
I just knew I had to work in health. It was just because like I was going through it. I'm like, this is like magic. Like I thought it was magic, like natural health supplements. So I worked with them and I grew my territory from like 1.8 million to 4.1 million a year and I killed it. And they was like a small bonus check for that. And it was like, why, how am I only making this much for something? It was like world changing for me. Like I was like, no, this isn't going to work. And I wanted to be an outside rep. I knew I wanted to be in front of people. So I went to the CEO there and he said, no, you're not meant to be an outside sales rep. You don't have it. So then another company recruited me, but this is how the universe works out or whatever works out. So another company recruited me and I went to go work for them and they weren't the right fit for me. They had like 15 products. The owner, it was like a small business, but I thought I could learn from the owner because he was an entrepreneur and there was some learnings, but not to what I thought I would get. And then Daniel Sampson was charged with bringing Designs for Health into Canada, but he used to work for Genestra and we didn't work there at the same time. But I think in his agreement, when he left, he wouldn't poach any Genestra client. Mm-hmm. But I met him when I was working for this other company and I got to work for Designs for Health. And then that was it, 2014, we started. I won a startup competition, I remember in July 2014, where my tea company that I built, we won all these competitions, we had a bunch of funding, and it was a choice. Daniel was like, either you gotta do the tea company, you come work for Designs for Health, you're not gonna be able to do both. So I chose Designs for Health, and then that was, August 18th or August 14th, 2014, so.
Almost 10 years.
Almost 10 years, yeah. And then, that's it. I was like super passionate. I was hooked and I was super focused. I would work like 10, 12 hour days, no problem. I had tons of energy and it was like, I got a purpose back. It was like, to me, our industry is actually magic. I viewed like naturopaths and homeopaths and functional medicine doctors. And at the time I didn't really know strength coaches and personal trainers, but I'm like, these guys are magicians. Like they can fix things that no one else could. That was how I viewed it. And I got obsessed with like acupuncture and homeopathy and all things functional medicine and herbal medicine. Like it was like I could consume so much knowledge on it.
You're a very driven person and I want to come back to just your that story just really explains how when you set your mind to something you are pretty relentless about achieving it. But because you just mentioned strength coaches in your path, when did Charles cross your path? Was that your first entree to like the strength coach world?
This is where it's like you can't tell me God doesn't exist. So I was listening to Tim Ferriss and Charles Poliquin I was with my ex at the time and we were biking up a hill to my condo and it was 2015 and I'm listening to this like, so I was at DFH now for a year and we had really good success in Canada. Things were going and I heard him talking about products. And with Tim Ferriss, and I remember this interview, and I'm like, I want to meet him. And then the next day, Daniel Sampson calls me, and he's like, Charles Poliquin's in town. He uses DFH. Like, why don't we go to a meeting?
No way.
So we went.
In Toronto.
And we went. He was teaching. And I sat down with him, and I felt like someone injected dopamine right into my neck.
He did secretly. You just didn't know.
And that was it. And then him and I just got along, which
is rare.
Charles has a lot of friends, but like it was, you know, he would call me randomly like 10 o'clock at night just to talk like weird things. I don't know if he did with his other reps. I don't know. But then I was like his point person at DFH. Like I'd go to events. I would be his, like, I would actually pick him up from the airport in Toronto. I'd be his driver for 3-4 days. at a time. So I got really close with Charles, and that opened my mind up to this other side of the world, which layering in like my obsession with like Rocky and all these other things was something I was always driven to. Like, I love the idea of training. So he sort of bridged the magic I found in naturopathic and functional medicine with training. And he was like the both of those worlds. And I got to mentor under him. Like, I got to learn a lot and just going to his courses. I think I went to like 12 biosigs and, or whatever you call them, metabolic analytics at the time. And I got thrust into that world. And then it was in 2019, I was in Dallas, actually, where the original idea percolated. And Dave Lawrence, John was speaking, Stephanie Canestrero, and John was hosting an event called Genesis, I think, or something like that. It was after Charles passed. And I was like, we need to be what Designs for Health was in the naturopathic world to these coaches. Because they all wanted good products for their athletes. The NSF for Sport was crucial. But the strength, this is where getting back to your, like, we got to build community. Like, Charles was a genius at a lot of things, but he built such a cool brotherhood or sisterhood. But he created this, like, amazing community. And I was like, there's this gap now. Charles is gone. And I somehow was blessed to be connected to, like, Preston and Dave and John and Stephanie Canestraro and like Gary Roberts's crew with Adrian. It's like I had all these connections and I'm like, okay, let's, why don't we just recreate the community Charles was? Like, a lot of what we're doing is sort, like, Charles and I spoke about the idea of Designs for Sport before he passed away, but like the idea really hit me in the face at that event. That was one of the events that made it like we have to do it. And then I pitched the idea to Jonathan Lazotte, the owner of DFH, November 2019. I had like a 40-page business plan looking at the industry. Like, I don't know. Again, I'm an ADD person. So the fact I was able to focus and do that, it was like, I really wanted to get it done. Pitched it to Jonathan. And I think within 15 minutes, he was like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Let's do it. Like, there was almost no resistance. And then we started officially on the project January 2020.
That's insane.
Does that answer your question? I don't even remember where we started.
Yeah, no. It did. It did answer it. I want to ask you a question about Charles. So, but besides connection, what did he teach you about being a leader or community? Use the word community. What did you learn from him about being a leader?
He was very okay being himself. And there's a lot of qualities about Charles you want to mirror. There's a lot of qualities you don't want to mirror. He knew how to be charming. He knew how to be sophisticated when he had to. He had a very fast mind. He knew how to build the drama and the stories to get people roped in. But I think out of everything, it was be yourself, you're going to have fans and you're going to have enemies. Like, he was, people either hated that guy or loved him. And I think when you try to pander to everyone, you don't create anything. So, like, he was super polarizing, but he had the, like, strongest army of dedicated people in this space. Mm-hmm. So that was crucial. I don't think he gave credit enough where credit was due until maybe later in his life. So I learned that through him, like, give credit where it's due and like, actually, you know what I did learn by looking at him? Surround yourself with really trustworthy, good people. Cause I think he sometimes didn't and it came back and it bit him. Also be trustworthy and giving to the ones around you.
So you learned from him to be yourself. And then you added to that through watching his career. Surround yourself with a good team mm-hmm. and give credit where credit's due. Mm-hmm. What else have you, because, you know, I've been under your leadership for 3 years now at Designs for Sport. What else, as you've, you know, kind of moved through this industry, moved through the natural health industry and some of the other work you've done, and then just even the business and spiritual work you do for yourself, what else would you say to the people that are listening about being a leader? I think the world needs more positive, powerful leaders than ever before right now. So what advice would you give to business owners or strength coaches that are working for somebody else or someone who's just starting something up, a nutrition pro listening, someone who's unsure about maybe if they're in the right career about being a leader?
This is going to maybe sound weird. If you've had the thought, most likely everyone else has had that thought. Mm. And being a leader sometimes is... like, it's weird. Even when you say that term leader to me, it's like, no, I'm not a leader. It's like the most driven people are the most imposter syndrome. But I think it's always trying to elevate and push people and learning what would push them. and having the humility to also understand that they are probably better than you at a lot of things. So I deal with a lot of insecurities as a man when I look at the team, like I'm the leader, you know, you always have this thing like I'm the leader, I'm supposed to be the boss, whatever. But I look at you or Ryan or Melissa and what I see are people who have skills that are much better than me in a lot of things. So there's an insecurity that pops up. And I think what makes a good leader is being okay with the fact that you're going to be surrounded by people who have genius over you. I think horrible leaders get threatened often and they diminish the people in on their team.
Some would say that's actually pretty genius. Have you, you've heard the term maybe, or maybe you haven't, to hire your weakness, not saying that any talent, you know, any gift that Ryan has or Mel has or I have is not your weak, is your weakness. But I think one of the smartest things a leader can do is hire people in positions that where maybe they don't love to do that work, but they know they need it, or that don't, that they know, hey, I would love to do that a little better and this person's good at it. Or you're the average of the five people you hang around the most. So just having good people around you, which is like kind of where we started with the community. So for me, I'm just shining back on you, just giving you some props that most epic business leaders do that.
Yeah, I don't know if most. I know, yeah, I get what you're saying. Like the ones who are really epic do. But I think what I've noticed is a lot of people are riddled with insecurities. Mm. And you want to hire people who, as you said, have things that you don't have or do things that you don't do. But like, I'll give you an example. So Ryan and I were at this Orlando Health Network event and I heard Ryan going off on supplements. And there's a little voice that creeped in my head. Like, I used to be better than Ryan at doing that, little ego voice. Mm-hmm. And I'm not anymore. My job has shifted. I don't just detail on supplements as much anymore. There's the other things I do. So I'm losing the muscle. So if my ego was easily fractured, I would look at Ryan and I might try to diminish him in some other way. Because, like, why would Ryan, who I'm supposed to be the leader of, overtake me in anything? Mm. But instead, I was like, no, Ryan's inspiring me again that I actually got to learn more stuff. Like, I need to keep up with my team. And I think where a lot of leaders miss it is, like, they think their way is the most genius and they don't allow a lot of open form and space for their people to feel heard. It's almost like it's my way or the highway, or they'll diminish them in public court or be too aggressive or like make sure to always be seen as above who they're working with because this person has a lower title than me and I shouldn't be outshined by them. But at the end of the day, we're all humans and we're all in our own little matrixes. And I think your biggest thing as a human is constantly growing and having a white belt mentality and surrounding yourself with people who are going to make you feel like a white belt in a lot of things. Like you spoke today. There's no way I would have been able to give that talk to the level you did. It's absolutely not going to happen.
Well, I mean, you know, that's your opinion. But I mean, we would agree, you know, we could disagree off mic. But I mean, you're capable, but I hear what you're saying. So rephrase what you just said. So people that are listening, there might be a business owner that just opened a gym and has to hire some coaches. They might have someone at a university that has some interns underneath them. It could be someone who owns a huge spot and has lots of people, front desk people working for them. Or as I mentioned at the lunch today, the most important leadership role you have is the leadership of your own self.
Yeah.
So rephrase that. Now, if you were going to give that as a piece of advice to leaders who are leading other people, how would you phrase that as advice?
I'm going to go my faith route, but God creates genius, I think. And you don't know when genius is going to pop out. And our human mind wants to be egotistical. Like, I've done this job for 20 years. I've coached this many athletes. I'm better than you. There's no way you could creep up. But genius will just come out sometimes. And it can throw away the logical argument. Like, you need X amount of years to prove something. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like...
Right. The 10,000 hours.
Yeah. And there's validity to all that. Mm-hmm. But, like, Mike Tyson at 19 didn't give a shit that someone's been boxing for 10 years longer than him. Or John Jones started training MMA, like, in his 20s and was a champion by 22. Like, genius doesn't care. And when you're at something for so long, like, you might be an extremely talented strength coach, but somebody's mind or whatever might just understand something quicker and better than you and show an area of genius. So then it's up to you, like, can you pull in your ego and look at it and be like, well, I know I worked all these years to get to where this is, but this guy just superseded it. The rules didn't matter to them, but I'm going to take something from them and learn it and apply it to my life. And I don't know how many people are comfortable doing that.
So how do we, and I don't know what the right term is, so I'll just use my ignorant language. Like, how do we kill the ego to that thought process? Or how do we check ourselves? If we hear that voice coming up, because like you said, I do think a lot of people have that, especially in a place of leadership. And even if you're not, sometimes that's what prevents people from becoming leaders, because they are always thinking that. How do we like tame our ego in that way?
When you do it fully, you're Buddha. So I'm not there yet. And I don't know if anyone's there yet. But I think we're here to grow in love and learn how to receive more love. I think that's our mission. It's distilled down. But so anything that gets in the way of that to me is your ego. So if you're looking at something and it might take a long time for you to see the beauty in it or how you're going to grow from it, but you have to get to a point where you're like, if my ego wasn't here, what am I learning from this situation? And I think any noise that's from like the initial reaction to that point is just resistance and blocks to doing that. That's your ego. So I don't know, example of you run a business, and then Ben Patrick's caused a lot of anger in the space. He has 2 million followers on Instagram or whatever. He's been on Joe Rogan. He's just repackaging a lot of Charles's stuff, sure. But he figured out how to take a message that all of us have known and get it to the world. So we can look at it and diminish him, being like, oh, I used to do that. I knew how to do it. Like, we've all heard it. Or we can look at it and be like, this guy figured something out of nowhere. He didn't need to train a million athletes, and he's more famous than all of us. Like, what can I learn from him to make me better? And I think getting to that point, you have to look at the voices that are diminishing you from being there. So sometimes, like, when I have a small coaching business, so I always try to get people to come out of their situation and try to be a third party observer and say, hey, if this was someone else, how would you find the amazingness to this situation versus being stuck in the drama? Because all that stuff is just your ego trying to rip you down.
Yeah, it makes sense. So along those same lines, if you were going to step out of where you are right now and look at where you're at, what are you aiming to learn? Or what is something you're still working on as a leader? And it could be in business, in your personal life, like what, from a leadership standpoint. And I think just as a qualification, I think when we think leaders, we think the person at the front of the line, we think the person on the stage. But people, most people that I consider leaders are the people who are walking their talk, who are just quietly going about their business, doing, and by quiet, it doesn't mean, you know, a leader isn't always the person at the front of the pack. It's not always the person with the captain's armband. Hmm. I think that's just what the world thinks. Leaders move through life in very, very different ways. So for you, what's a tool as a leader that you're still working on?
I think when you use that term leader, there's a part of you that thinks you have to have it all figured out.
Yeah.
And there's a fear of, what if I'm just a fraud? Like I was talking about imposter syndrome. So what I'm always working on is, like, I don't have it all figured out. I can then go into comparison and steal any joy and look at all these other people my age who look like they have it figured out more. But just getting to the point of, like, I'm still a forever student, getting back to that white belt mentality. So my own ego gets in the way, and it's funny, like, the love languages, how you receive love. Some people think it's BS. Some people agree with it. So I'm a big words of affirmation guy. So the negative to being a words of affirmation guy is that your negative self-talk hits you a lot harder than somebody else. So I struggle with the little voice that pops up. You're not good enough. You shouldn't be here. There's going to be a million people who can do this better than you. And all that does is distract me from showing up present for what we're trying to do. And that's what I'm trying to work on, is understanding, like, I am okay where I am, but I can still learn, and it's okay to learn, and it's okay not to have everything figured out right now while we're growing this business. And it's been a lot of, you know, ups and downs. We launched during COVID, like supply chain issues during COVID, NSF approval, like there's been so many barriers. So understanding that it's okay and just being proud of what we're doing and keep pushing and moving it forward.
So to be a leader, you don't have to always have it all figured out.
No, I think the only thing you need is the ability to respond versus react. I think that's really important. And responding is going to come from your greatest, your, you know, responsibility really means your ability to respond. So having the best responsibility at the time versus reacting. That to me is, I think, the one thing that you should have, and then you'll be able to figure stuff out as you go.
So you've led Designs for Sport in the three plus years of its existence to be in, trusted in over 200 collegiate and pro locker rooms to impact, you know, I wish we knew, I mean, thousands of lives in the general population through all of these teams. What do you want to be known for as a leader at Designs for Sport?
I think the bigger mission is, I think we're doing something really special. So I believe in our products 1,000,000%. I believe in our staff 1,000,000%. And I think we have a chance to really change the world here. It's not just about like making money on a balance sheet. So the general idea for Designs for Sport was trickle down health. And this idea of if we can influence the athletes of the world and these high performers, then the general population will listen and buy in. And it's what you said, like we're selling thousands of bottles of product a month, meaning thousands of people are taking our stuff. Meaning how does that affect their day to day? Do they have more energy, more clarity? Does that mean they're showing up for their loved ones better? Like I look at it that way. And sometimes it can be an overwhelming thought, especially like, you know, when we were in DFH Canada, we had thousands of practitioners ordering and they had hundreds of people. So in my mind one day, I'm like, we have like 300,000-400,000 people being affected by what we're doing. Like it's such an overwhelming.
Powerful.
So I'm tied to the mission that like there's two missions we got to in the beginning, like scarcity, abundance in the community. Like I want us to be a connector of our community because these people who are doing it, again, they don't get enough credit and they're putting a lot of energy into helping other people out. So somebody should have them and give them something that they can lean on. That's one thing. I really want to build this amazing community in our space. Even this podcast, like, you know, when you think on a business, what's the ROI? Is there a benefit to this? Is anyone really listening? Like we have people listening. I have coaches reaching out and it's like these little blips of joy. Like I think when people, there's this like sickness in the West of like, or sickness in business where it's like, if you don't affect a certain amount of people, it's a failure. But like they don't really talk much about the quality of who you're affecting and how you're affecting them. So I think us influencing this community in the way that we have been by bringing on all these amazing people and sharing their message and getting them good product and everything else is great. And then the other part of it is like, can we improve the life and health and wellness of like, I want to have 1,000,000 people taking our products and feeling better. Like that's the big goal.
I love that this episode took a turn to leadership. It's my favorite topic.
Yeah, we had no idea. We didn't prep.
I love it. And in true podcast closing fashion, I just want to recap three things.
Isn't that crazy? It's already been 40 minutes.
That we've talked about just because I feel like they were very powerful. And please elaborate because I don't want to mince words or miss it. So you are a powerful leader. You lead through connection.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you do. You really do. We had an amazing group at a lunch and learn today, and it would only be through just that example that you set. So I appreciate that. And you learned from Charles. I think you've added to it, and we've definitely grown this at Designs for Sport, and we all live by it, just the power of community. And so connection and community is key more now than ever. In order to be a good leader, it's wise to surround yourself with people who may have more genius than you in different areas or in same areas to build a strong team.
Yeah, but I want to build on that. It's wise to, but then you have to have the perspective of like, you're going to have a bit of an ego death when you do that. Mm. And you have to buckle yourself in and allow that to happen because you can derail your team if you let that ego pop up and that person being like, I'm better than this person, I know more.
Yeah.
And suppressing their genius. So it's like doing that and then buckling up for the ride of it.
It's hard, but wise advice. The last point about leadership was that leaders don't have everything figured out.
No.
Leaders are always learning. Leaders are always white belt mentality. The leaders in the world that are powerful leaders, and by powerful, you know, we mean like in a positive way, are always growing, like you said. You mentioned growth earlier. Mm-hmm. So connection and community, the team and the circle of people you have around you, and always having that white belt growth mindset What would you add? Would you add anything in closing?
I want to say I'm very grateful for the whole team. So thank you for saying I'm a good leader, but really the team has been...
Why did you put it in air quotes?
I don't know.
This is your love language. I feel like we need 40 more minutes on the clock to work this out, please.
I don't know.
So accept that you're a powerful leader.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you accept that you're a powerful leader?
80%, if I'm being honest. I think the other thing is like, the journey is more rewarding than the destination on anything you do. And that will help you. Like, there's always a gift waiting for you if you pay attention to the journey, and that you don't have to wait. There's no, you know, when I hit X, when I get 100 clients, when I get, you're a strength coach starting a business, you're a personal trainer, like the gift could be that first client or your client hitting a chin up for the first time. Like, it doesn't need to be when you have this grand goal that comes to fruition. We want to have those things to work towards, but like reminding yourself of the daily gifts.
So I'll end where we started. Stay in the mindset of possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And look for those little wins every day.
Mm-hmm. And like right now I'm dealing with insecurity. I think you're a better podcast host than I am.
Oh my word.
So now there you go. I got to deal with that. I'm like, okay, now we got Jill. She's going to replace me on the podcast.
Stop. That's not happening anytime soon. I can guarantee that.
No, but I really appreciate you flipping the role here. This was going to be a monologue episode because Victoria, who really is responsible for like our voice out there, the marketing voice, she was like, we need to get you on an episode. I'm like, okay, I'll try to monologue it. But I think it was way better with you asking the questions. So thank you for coming on. Or thank you for hosting. Sorry.
Thank you for coming on, Jordan Boxer. It's been
a pleasure
to have you as a guest on Leaders in Sport. You will resume your normally scheduled program with our next interview.
In
the leadership seat. We are blessed as a team at Designs for Sport to have you as our leader. And everybody that uses our product is blessed that you took that little idea and through your monthly emails, your 40-page plan, your relentless ability to just get things done when you have a vision and you have passion, that you saw it to the finish line. So thank you for doing all of that work. It's harder than anybody listening will ever know. And thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
That's it,
so
everybody.
Wait, if
we'll
people
see
want
you.
To find you.
Oh, if people, okay, wait, thanks. I don't know how this goes. So if people want to listen to more podcasts, you can download Leaders in Sport on anywhere where you listen to your podcast.
YouTube. We got to get on YouTube.
Okay, yeah. That's our next thing.
Yeah.
Victoria, help. You can find all of our free education, including all of our masterclasses on designsforsport.com, all of our products. Check out the creatine Jordan mentioned. If people want to find you, Jordan, how can they find you?
Jordan, I used to have Born a Boxer. I switched it to Jordan, period, Boxer, B-O-K-S-E-R on
Thank
Instagram.
Thank the Lord.
That was because I used to box and my last name Boxer.
It so just was hard for you to spell out when you were on.
Born_a_Boxer. Yeah, no.
Jordan.Boxer.
Yeah.
B-O-K-S-E-R.
It's the German way.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so people can DM you there.
But where do they find you, Jill?
People can find me anywhere Designs for Sport is and JillLane.com and at Team Fueling Champions on Instagram.
Perfect.
Amazing. Until next time.
Okay, thank you. Thank you again for joining us in Leaders in Sport. I'm your host, Jordan Boxer, and we just want to thank you from everyone at Designs for Sport for giving us your time and attention. We hope to continue to bring you episodes that will help pique your interest and help you elevate your career so we can elevate the industry. Thank you.